Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Austin Wrestling Podcast. This is the Austin Wrestling Podcast, the mastermind, aka Mastermind Sal, here. And then also on the other line, we got Rich, the big guy.
What's up, guys? Long time no speak.
Yep. Long time no speak, indeed. Yes, this is a long time since we had this. This is our annual shoot, or quote-unquote, where we have the Running the Ropes series, where we go ahead and analyze all the stuff that's been going on in wrestling for the month or past month or so, wherever the case is, and, you know, just analyzing, breaking down everything. Nick, of course, had, you know, the quote-unquote, the Nick Lopez, or N, what was his nickname? We had MJF, and we had N.
NJL,
yes. So we had NJL. Of course, he runs, Pro Wrestling Opinion, PWO. You could definitely check that out. He wished you could be here, but unfortunately, you know, you couldn't be here. So if anything...
Family function, but family comes first no matter what.
Comes first, indeed, yeah. And again, like I said, it's, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's been 5 years. We've been putting out content. You know, you talk about content, PWO, that's your site. You go over there, you know, of course, they got all the minute-to-minute, you know, basic segment-by-segment coverage of everything. I always talk about this. You know this, Rich, where it's, yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
Hit him. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to hit him with it. But, yeah, it's basically like, you know, you're sitting in class. I'm not in class anyway at this time, though. But if anything, you know, you sit in class, you know, you're bored. You can't just pull up a freaking video, so of, you know, wrestling or something like that, you know, I'd be like, oh, you know what, I still gotta catch up with wrestling. Yeah,
catch like, oh, professor, he's watching wrestling, he's lame.
Fucking assholes, man. I fucking hate these little kids, man. Just fucking ticks me off, and I'm like, come on, man. So what's the best thing to do? Make it look like, you're reading. But I'm like, damn, man, there's no actual sites that offer good content. So you go on PWO, Pro Wrestling Opinion, open up that website, be able to see everything as it's going on. It kind of feels like, you know, you're kind of analyzing the match as it goes on with full, crisp detail, which is great. Because now I can basically daydream in class. I wouldn't recommend it, kids. But basically, it's good for you to kind of just catch up with wrestling, you know. And, of course, reading is fun. It's a good skill.
The match in your head.
Yeah. In your head, at the moment, right there, segment by segment. It's great, you know. But, yeah, I mean, we're here talking about all the stuff that's been going on. A lot of crazy stuff's been going on. Of course, this month from, I say, June to July. Of course, quarantine still going on. COVID-19 still happening right now. Summer's here. A lot of big things, a lot of big different kind of events. I mean, for this purpose of this Running the Rope series, we're going to be talking about, of course, a lot of big things going on with, of course, the fallout with Slammiversary. We'll be talking about in a few. Mainly, we'll be talking about Extreme Rules. "Quote unquote," the horror show. What do you think about this name, man?
Personal opinion, I think it's gonna be a horror show.
Horror show. I think that's really what the whole promotion is. Honestly, they should name their Saudi Arabia shows the horror shows. Honestly.
Blood money in Saudi Arabia.
Blood money in Saudi Arabia, man.
WWE is your next show for Saudi Arabia.
Yep. WrestleMania 37, man. It's gonna happen soon. I mean, there was rumors about that. We'll talk about that too. But yeah, I mean, they got Extreme Rules, they dubbed it the horror show. It's kind of interesting how they built it up. They first started with Extreme Rules, new format, you know. If you look way, way back, I think you can vouch for this, right? Yeah. New logo, new everything, new design, new, you know, whole different catch up on it. Maybe a decade ago, they were calling it One Night Stand, and then they started phasing that out. Extreme Rules, you know, hardcore, and now it's like just Extreme Rules. Like, okay, let's just put the name out. You know, everybody gets it. And I mean, what do you think about this? Yeah.
To the card, I think maybe there's only three matches that are actually going by Extreme Rules.
Yep.
I think there's only three, maybe four.
Yeah.
There's the Bray Strowman match.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be the Dolph McIntyre match.
Yep.
Tables match. Mm-hmm. And the Eye for an Eye match.
Yeah. It seems like they're kind of, again, just shying away from the whole Extreme Rules moniker and just saying, okay, let's just focus on making the matches now. But, of course, now it's in a unique position where, you know, fans can actually be in the building. So they have to actually rely on, hey, now we got to, oh, shit. Like, all the writers are sweating now. Like, damn, now we got to come up with quality content. How do we compete with, you know, all the indies? So now they got to try to find a way, of course, to try to do that. And I guess this is their way. But, I mean, let's, yeah. No. AEW, New Japan, you know, even Impact. I mean, we'll get to that later, too. But, I mean, And that's kind of surprising because maybe about 6 months ago to 12 months ago, we were saying they're going to be out of business. We were ripping on Impact saying, what's an Impact? Like, what? Impact? I never heard about that. Anthem? Fuck the Owl? That's right. I remember that. Of course, you can.
Now it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're. Yeah. Now we're actually embracing the Owl, I'd say. Like, it's kind of crazy. Kind of crazy to think about it. I mean, well, talking about, of course, this whole show and everything, I mean, let's talk about a breakdown, match to match, just kind of breaking down from there. We got the pre-show match, Owens and Murphy. What do you think about this whole setup? It's just a regular singles match. Do you think it should have been booked better? Do you think it should have been in a different way? How do you feel about this?
Well, being the fact Owens just came back on TV since, like, last month or something, a couple weeks, there was no actual real build-up.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like they just threw this together after WrestleMania when Owens beat Seth.
Yep, that's true. It's kind of, they kind of see, yeah.
I think this has potential to be a great match.
Yeah.
If it's booked properly.
Yeah. It depends. I think really what it comes down to is like how, and again, it just comes down to, is this going to really pay off? And is there going to be a storyline with this? Who, it's hard to say. Is it going to be a storyline? Who knows, you know? It seems like they're just piggybacking off of, yeah, this seems like it's just like they're piggybacking off of Rollins and Rey Mysterio storyline. They're like, all right, you know what? Let's just mash it up in there. Like, we don't got nothing else booked for Owens or Murphy. Let's just put him into the pay-per-view. What do you think is going to, like, what do you think the result of this?
Why don't we just throw Aleister Black against Austin Theory?
Bro, I think, well, I don't know if you've seen this on, they're already building up Survivor Series, and they're saying that, you know, why not have Aleister Black face Karrion Kross, or, you know, who we call Killer Kross in the Indies.
I would not mind that at all.
Oh, man, that whole, and then to bring the Wyatt in there?
I will not mind that match at all.
Oh my god. If they ever did that where they brought all three of them into the
and personally, if that actually happens at Survivor Series or SummerSlam, whichever.
Yeah.
I prefer SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Give them as much time as they want.
Yeah. Throw the fucking book at them. Just, you know, just give them the time and just do it there. But like in this case it's kinda like, you know, if you look at this whole pay per view, Aleister Black is nowhere to be found on this show. He's not on this lineup doing anything, you know. Same kind of set. I don't know if it's because of COVID. I don't know if it's, you know, just
he hasn't really had a storyline, though.
Yeah. I think they're trying to save some stuff for Monday, for Raw. I mean, if you look at all the different stuff that they're doing now with, like, let's say Orton and Big Show, they could have done this at Extreme Rules, but they said, nah, you know what? Let's save it for Raw. So I guess they're kind of in that mentality, like, you know what? Why go ahead and spend it on this one pay-per-view when we can just go ahead and stretch it out and put it to different shows.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, who do you think is going to win this match with Owens and Murphy? Do you think it's going to go anywhere? Do you feel like it's going to have a storyline?
Well, if you are a longtime fan, everyone knows I love Buddy Murphy. I think he's super talented and super underrated. But knowing WWE and their booking, they're going to go Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really just, it comes down to, if they're not going to build this up, it's just going to be Owens just winning the match, and then, you know, just to make him happy. I mean, there was rumors, of course, that he wanted to go to NXT, which I think he should. It's better for him.
Yeah. Because
Vince is
just... There's a lot of talent. There's worked with Fandango,
right.
Tyler Breeze. There's quite a few other ones.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. I mean, on top of the fact, there was rumors that he didn't want to show up to tapings because of the COVID-19 epidemic thing. Yeah, people were testing positive, and you know, I mean, you can't blame him. Like, Roman did the same thing, now he's doing the same thing, and it changed up the whole policy. Now Vince is like, okay, you know, now we got to look at everything differently. We can't just punish people just because they say no, you know?
And from what I heard, because of Kevin, they actually have the fans wearing masks.
Yeah, I think it's important for them. I mean, of course, they got to keep that, you know, of course, if you look at Florida right now and Texas and all these other states, it's starting to go up because everybody just thinks, oh, you know what, it's summer, it's gone, who gives a fuck, you don't have to worry about it. And now, you know, you start seeing these surges just coming up out of nowhere. It's all behavior-based, I think, you know, in my opinion. But, you know, we don't want to get too political here. That's just, you know, the facts, you know.
Last time we got political, we got taken off YouTube.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, our Slammalambies is back on YouTube.
Definitely. And also, if you check our Instagram pages, we have a full kind of, you know, kind of preview of what matches and all that stuff and all the content we had and everything. I had something for you, Rich, but I think they took it down because they said, oh, it's copyright. I had to go ahead and sort it out with them. I talked to Instagram. I was like, listen, it's not, da-da-da. They said, okay, we're working on that. So if definitely check that out. Yeah, you should check that out. It's pretty, you know, you get to see, like, what kind of stuff we're talking about in that show and everything. So definitely. I'm moving on. Next match. We got two women's Raw women's title matches. We got the two cinematic matches, and then we also got two more title matches. We got a tag team match with New Day versus Cesaro and Nakamura, and then we got Apollo Crews versus MVP for the new U.S. title. Let's talk about, of course, SmackDown to tag titles, because I think this will parlay into U.S. title, I guess, you know. What are your thoughts about this whole thing with the tag title scene?
Doesn't seem like there's any push to anything with the tag team division. Whether it's Raw or SmackDown, the tag team division isn't as good to me as it was a couple months ago.
That's right. I think it's kind of like, and again, you saw what happened on Raw. Like, the Street Profits, they had all the segments with the Viking Raiders, and it was kind of, you know, it was comedic, funny. But then after that, it didn't really go nowhere. And now you see this whole thing going on with, you know, Nakamura and Cesaro. I mean, it's a great match, a great kind of thing they're trying to do. Like, okay, let's just put these two people together. But it kind of, like, seems like, okay, let's just put these two people together just for the hell of it toward the last few weeks of the show.
So
yeah.
Why not do it again?
Why not? Mix and mash. It works perfectly, you know?
Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah.
Nakamura and Rusev.
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
Fucking pick a team and stick with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Aleister Black and Ricochet. I like that team. That was a good team.
Yeah, Aleister Black and Ricochet was pretty interesting. If you even go, Cedric and Ricochet. If you look at SmackDown, they had, the Forgotten Sons. But, of course, it got a little controversial there. But, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you got to have your staples. Why not?
This is a good question for you. Remember that team MVP was talking to? Shane Thorne and some other guy?
That's right, yeah. That.
Where the fuck have they been?
Where the fuck have they been? Exactly, yeah. It's like, again, all these little...
They had a nice three, four-week run. Mm-hmm. MVP was like, you guys are going to be in my stable. Where the fuck have they been since?
Yep. Vince, man, he doesn't like factions.
It's like, they fucking disappeared.
Yeah. He just said, we're not going to do no fucking factions. Like, fuck that, we're not doing it. No point. And they just totally scrapped it. It was like, wow, really? Like, this was supposed to become something. But I guess they just totally scrapped it from there. I mean, but with this match, we got New Day, of course. I think they're at a record right now, right? They probably have the most days as tag champs, I think.
They had that, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah, they got 5 years worth of tag titles right there. I mean, you know, I think that this match, it's really not going to go nowhere. It's just going to be Biggie and Kofi. We talked about it before. When are they really going to have them break up? Yeah. I like, every time I see the New Day, it kind of gets more annoying. It's kind of like the Cena kind of stuff from 2006. It's like the same shit over and over. Same shit, different toilet. It's
I'm just waiting for them to disband.
Yeah, just disband it, or, you know, something like, you know, just a turn. Something should happen, you know?
Give Big E a heel turn.
Yeah.
Give him a singles run with a heel turn.
Yeah. Give one of them. Kofi blew up. Why not have Big E or, you know, Xavier Woods blow up when he comes back? So I have to see, you know. For me, it's just kind of like the New Day's going to probably win, and, you know, we'll just forget about this and then be like, whatever, who cares? I mean, of course, you know, piggybacking off of the SmackDown tag titles, we got to talk about this too. They were recently talking about a new design for the SmackDown tag titles, I think, right? It was like way, way back, probably last year, I think. They were saying how there was new SmackDown, there's new tag titles they have there, but they just didn't debut.
Are they just redesigning every title?
Yeah, I guess they're trying to reboot everything, because, I mean, you saw recently what they did with the U.S. title, which, I mean, I don't mind, it's pretty cool, it's alright, you know, but it's like, you know, they're just trying, I guess, just bring that into, you know, limelight and just be like, all right, fine, let's just go ahead and bring up the titles. It's been fucking 15 years since we had another title design. Let's just do it, you know?
But yeah.
Yeah. But we got Apollo Crews versus MVP for the U.S. title. What do you, I mean, with this...
match of the night, if booked properly.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta say, MVP, this whole thing of MVP is really working out for Raw, though. Like, if you think about it, he started out, you know, 12, 15 years ago in the mid-card, you know, just walking around. And now he's in this position where he's kind of like in a semi-producer slash kind of wrestler role. And it's working out for him.
Same thing like Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
You were in WWE, you left for a couple years.
Yep.
You blew up, and they want you back.
Yeah. And they want you back here. That's right. And think about it. I think, what was it? Like, exactly.
MVP fucking blew up in Japan.
Yeah.
And TNA and wherever else he went, he blew up.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, in Japan, he was the first, I think, IC champion there. And then when he went to Impact, he did a lot of great programs with a lot of people there, built up a lot of new talent, and then, of course, now you see him.
Remember the Beatdown Clan?
The Beatdown Clan, yeah, that was a pretty interesting angle. And then I think it was a whole bunch of other stuff, too, with Drew. He did a lot of stuff with Drew, with Bobby, of course, Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, that was the Beatdown Clan versus, I forgot the name of Drew's group. That was like Stand Up for Wrestling or some shit. That was their thing.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm talking about. It was Eli Drake.
Right.
Drew McIntyre and...
Was it Eddie?
He's now known as Tangaloa.
Right.
Camacho, I think his name was in WWE.
Right. I guess they're just trying to... And then it seems like, again, it's kind of interesting to see that WWE is actually, like, taking these talents. They're paying attention, clearly. I mean, if they're bringing these talents in, there's a reason, because they're paying attention. They see what they're doing outside of WWE, and they're kind of like, okay, you know, this guy has some potential. He's doing something different. Let's bring him in. And now you see this many years later, they're doing things with him. I think for this, I mean, for me, I'd like to see MVP win a title.
But, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah. I think this might just be a ploy. Maybe they might just pull like a Mark Henry where it's like, you know, oh, you know, this is going to be a feud. And the next thing you know... Finger poke of doom, 1, 2, 3. Apollo joins MVP's faction.
Think so?
I should. I think that's how it should be. Because they keep teasing this faction that MVP's gonna have, but we don't see it. You talked about Shane Thorne, you know that, and you know his tag team there didn't happen. With Bobby, there's nothing going on there. Why not? Why not take advantage of it? You know, put Apollo in there just to go ahead and switch it up.
I think they should bring a tag team into that.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be a situation where they just do a no contest? I feel like I smell this is going to happen, I think. We're just going to do a no contest, and then it's going to be some bullshit.
I can see that happening, but I would like to see an actual ending.
Yeah. I think that's where most of the matches, but I think at some point, knowing WWE, knowing all these pay-per-views, from watching them for so many years, we're probably like, you know what? When are they just going to go ahead and throw this out? Like they have to throw this out somewhere. They're never going to build it up to something. But yeah.
The Murphy and Owens match started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I mean, again, if they give them the time, works perfectly. I mean, we're talking about time. There's a lot of other matches, too. And they talk about the cinematic matches, what we talked about in a few also, where there was going to be a lot of time. And they said it was going to be kind of interesting where, for the first time, they're going to involve CGI, which is kind of interesting, too. I mean, let's talk about, of course, the women's title matches, and then we also got the WWE title match, and then we also have the other two cinematic matches. What do you feel about Bayley? Well, two words. I got two names for you. Bayley, Sasha Banks. What do you feel about this whole thing going on for the past few months?
I see a heel turn coming soon. Well, not a heel turn. I see someone turning soon. But since you just mentioned both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I can see both of them winning,
yep.
So they both hold the tag team titles and the main titles.
Right.
So that just covered two matches at one.
Right. I think for me, it's the same thing. I think it's going to be either one of them lose or one of them win. I think it's looking at the way that WWE did their whole like branding right now. It's at this point where it's like the brand split doesn't really exist now. I mean, look at these two. They've done like a big build. They've done a great job with building them. Like, they won the tag titles out of nowhere on SmackDown. I was like, wow, you know, it was a big deal.
That was shocking.
That was shocking. That was a big shocker. Bayley becomes a double champ. Of course, she's always been like in the side when it comes to like the whole women's revolution thing. And they're kind of bringing that back in. Yeah, the four horsewomen. She's like probably one of the four horsewomen that's probably neglected compared to, you know, Charlotte or Banks or even Becky. But now it's like, you know, they're trying to bring her back and try to, you know, revive that, which is kind of interesting. But I think it's kind of like now to the point where she's becoming, I think, well, now she's like the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champ, I think.
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. And I think really what they're going to try to do is try to, I think they're doing a plan to bring her to Raw, it feels like. Because if they got this thing going on with Banks, most likely they're probably going to have her on Raw too. They want Banks and Bayley. I mean, we were there, you know, this 5 years ago. Brooklyn Takeover, the first one. Remember that match?
Yes, I remember.
That match. I remember that was my first WWE event, and that still is engraved in my head. Like, that was probably one of the like the best matches, you know, storyline wise, you know,
everything. I think all three of us were there.
I think so. She was.
All three of us were there. All three of us were at ROH Final Battle.
Yeah. Which is kind of interesting. Again, 5 years ago, this whole women's revolution thing started too, and now you see 5 years later, it's starting to become. Again, it's kind of like 5 years, 5 years, 5 years. We started 5 years ago.
5 year plan.
Yeah, 5 year plan, definitely. Again, who knows in the next 5 years, shit could change, you know. But yeah, I feel like Bayley's gonna. Yeah.
I doubt it, but 5 years WWE, we might see intergender wrestling, but I doubt that.
I hope, man. I hope that happens. I mean, we'll have to see what happens with that. You know, it's again, it's kind of like if they start randomly bringing in Saudi Arabia and like, oh, we're not gonna allow women in. Are they really on that train? It's like I don't know, man. I don't think so.
And they already allowed women in there, so
it's a step. Yeah, it's a step forward. You know, it's hard to say. Yeah, I mean, for me, same thing. I feel like it's again Bayley's gonna lose the title, and then probably Sasha Banks is gonna pull a victory out of nowhere, and then she wins. Nikki Cross, I think, should get the title. We've been saying that for a long time. She's very talented. Why not give her the title? Just pass the belt to her. Works for her, you know?
Hey, I can see either both of them losing or both of them winning.
Yeah.
There's no 50-50. It's either they sweep or they get swept.
Yeah.
There's no in-between, in my opinion.
Yeah. It seems like the rise and then the fall. So we'll have to see how that works out, you know? But yeah, we killed two birds with one stone. The next match. We got Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, and a to-be-determined stipulation for the WWE title.
Drew's going to win, but the stipulation, really? I don't know.
Really? I mean, like...
Because I doubt they're going to let Drew drop the title this quickly.
Yeah, I feel like it's, again, Drew's on a run. He's already done almost 100 days as WWE champion. Are they really just going to...
pass 100.
Yeah, he won already... You know, why not... They're going to go ahead and just strip him of the title? Why? You know, it doesn't make any sense. I feel like it's... Like, I think Dolph Ziggler's time. He should get the WWE title at some point. Like, you know, it's... Why not now? If you look at all this stuff, like, even The Rock. The Rock praised him. Rock said Ziggler's going to win the title. And if you got, like, a legend like that saying, you know, you're going to win the title, you know, why not? And there's probably a whole bunch of people that are behind
him. Can I put in a spoiler right now?
Yep.
Not a prediction, a spoiler, in the words of the great Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman. Yep.
Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam.
Really?
Orton wins.
Mm-hmm.
Edge comes back and wins the Rumble.
Yep.
Edge versus Orton at WrestleMania. You heard it here first, fans.
Could happen. You never know. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like... But then you gotta also take into account.
Think about it. We're pretty good with our spoilers.
Yeah. We've done a good job. Yeah. That's right. It's, again, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, can it happen? You know, it's kind of like, it's, you know, it's a possibility, a big possibility. I mean, we've always been spot on with it. You know, looking at like what's going on and stuff like that, you know, things always come into play, and then, you know, you kind of make your own kind of thing. But it's kind of logical when you look at it. Because, of course, Edge got to come back at some point. He got a tricep injury. I think the time for a tricep injury, depending on the person, is about, I'd say, 8 to 12 weeks, I think. I'm not sure. I think 8 to 12 weeks, it doesn't really take that long. But it depends on how much damage they got. So it's, you know, hard to say. I think we might see Edge come back sooner. And then, of course, they had a plan where it was going to be Edge and Orton, you know, one more time at SummerSlam. But that's totally scrapped because SummerSlam's out the door right now. So I'll have to see, you know, how that works.
Well, they said it's going to happen. It's just going to be in the Performance Center.
Yeah. What do you think about this? Let's segue into this. Orton, this whole build with Orton, how do you feel about this whole thing? The whole Legend Killer, do you feel like the Legend Killer 2.0? Do you feel like it's just Orton? You
know? I like it. Anything with Orton, I love.
Yeah.
I love Randy Orton.
That's true. I think Orton is really a product of WWE. He really is. Like, you know, he's probably one of the most healthiest wrestlers. He's been there the longest. He's probably one of the most gifted. And I think one of the things that separates him compared to everybody else is that he doesn't do all that high-flying stuff and everything. I mean, we kind of look like a lot of people look
there. He's one of the few that's been here his whole career.
Yeah. He doesn't do a lot of, like, high-risk kind of stuff. He just does his stuff and he makes it work.
Little bits here and there, yeah. But nothing major.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like, you know, he's creative, I could tell you that. I mean, like, when I saw...
He does the occasional cross bodies off the top rope.
That's right.
The occasional...
Yeah. He's healthy, though. I mean, I gotta say, he's probably healthy. Yeah, healthy compared to all the other, like, big stars and everything. Like, you look at Taker. How many injuries has he had? He's had, like, almost a whole bundle of injuries. And he's done all this stuff.
Are you counting the Goldberg one from Saudi Arabia?
Oh, man, oh, shit. That was,
which I picked as my botch of the year of 2019.
Yep.
In our Slam Millennia episode.
Definitely.
Which you can check out on ProWrestlingOpinion.com.
Which is back up, yes. And fuck you, YouTube. You fucking copyright. Fucking algorithm looking motherfuckers. Like,
again, that was a good plug.
It was, yeah. Definitely. Again, copyright don't got nothing on us.
By the way,
yeah.
Always beat Murphy in a decent match.
Decent match, yeah. Again, it's kind of like, it's again, they're going to set the tone for the whole night. So I'll have to see how that, you know, kind of works from there. I mean, moving on, let's go into probably the big matches I think everybody's kind of looking out for. Braun Strowman. Yeah, Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt, and then we got Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins.
Okay. Again, not a prediction, a spoiler. Dominic is going to cost Rey Mysterio the match, which is going to lead to SummerSlam.
Damn.
Dominic versus Rey.
Really? Rey
retirement match.
Really? That's interesting, man.
Again, not a prediction, spoiler.
Really? But what's going to make, I mean...
I just want to know how they're going to rip the eye out. Like, I know it's going to be CGI.
Yeah.
I just want to know how it's going to happen.
Yeah. Supposedly the stipulation in this match is an eye for an eye match. And it says the match can only be won.
Your opponent's eye out to win the match.
When you extract the eye of another opponent. I mean, I think if you bring this back, look at, I think in the past 2 weeks, if you look at Raw's viewership, I think the reason they did this was because if you look at it, They've been slacking. Yeah,
so bad.
It's really, really bad. Yeah, on Raw, especially Raw and SmackDown, where the 18 to 25 demographic is really just like flattening. Like nobody's from the 18 to 25, you know, 18 to 49, you know, age group is watching. You know, they're not interested. There's no viewers for it. They just kind of zone it out. But again, you can't help but that's like WWE. That's their bed. Now they gotta lie in it. You know. They're the ones that are talking about, let's be PG, let's be family-oriented. This will happen. Nick's always talked about this.
If you want to raise the ratings,
yeah,
put it to 14,
yeah,
put blood.
Yeah. And again, it's kind of like, you know.
Not a little blood here and there.
Yeah.
No, I want fucking gold dust blood weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, again, if the AEW can do it, why can't WWE do it? And again, it's always that argument of, oh, you know, we got to look at the industry, we got to be family-oriented. Nick's made this point all the time. If you look at SmackDown on Fox has been probably the worst kind of things that they've done so far. It's always been the same old shit. It's always been some family-oriented BS. Yep. Just kind of like, okay, regurgitate and, you know, let's just go ahead and repeat. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And that's why they kind of scratch their heads and go, why are our ratings so low? Maybe because you're not doing anything different. It's always the same old shit, same old stuff, just doing it from there. But to have this eye for eye match, I think it's getting people talking like, oh, somebody's going to...
It could help.
Yeah. kayfabe. Again, it's bringing back kayfabe. Like, oh shit. Like, I like the spirit of kayfabe isn't dead. Like, I think everybody, like, you know, there's probably going, people going, yeah, eye for an eye match. That can't happen in real life. You know, wrestling's fake. Da da da. Motherfucker, it's kayfabe. We know it's fucking
fake. It's not fake. It's scripted and choreographed.
Exactly. And on top of the fact, it's a storyline. I think that's really why we watch it. And at the point, again, we made that argument. It's, you know, we believe in it. We see what the storyline is. And there's a reason they're doing this. You know, you brought up the good point. They might just go ahead and have Dominic just, you know, cost Mysterio the match. That becomes a storyline right there. I think really where they're going to go with this is, I think they're trying to make Rollins, like, kind of like a, like, if you remember CM Punk back in when he was Straight Edge and stuff, like the Straight Edge faction that he had with Luke Gallows and Serena Deeb, right? I think they had this whole thing where it's like the Messiah, whatever stuff. I think they're just trying to bring that up, but like to 10. They're like, okay, let's just.
Kind of different.
Yeah, kind of different. They said, let's just mix that up with a little bit of Legend Killer just to kind of bring it in and just, you know, see how that works from there.
But I can see my theory happening.
Yeah, it could definitely happen.
Dominic costing the match.
Yeah.
Leads to Dominic versus Rey in SummerSlam with Rey's retirement match.
Yeah. I think definitely they want to give Rollins another WWE title run. The last time he held the WWE title was what, in 2015? He held a Universal title in, like, last year, right? But,
yeah,
you know, I think it would make sense for him to just win the title again because he's one of their top stars, you know? Him, probably Orton, and then you got Edge, too. And then you got a whole bunch of other, you know, different names there that definitely could be in the running for that. So you say
Alistair Black getting the title soon.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. He has to, man. A lot of underrated talent that have to, you know, be champion at some point.
I can see Karrion Kross getting called up for the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I see him getting a title run in 2021.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, we talked about it before. Drew McIntyre should have gotten the title. He got the title shot. He got the title. Public demand, you know. People wanted him to become champion. He became champion. I mean, we talked about Rollins. I think we all know the direction probably is that Rollins is going to win. What about the next match? The Wyatt Swamp fight. So, again, this is another cinematic match.
It's going to happen in this match. But Braun's going to win, which is going to lead to the final phase of Bray Wyatt.
That's right.
At SummerSlam, it's going to be The Fiend versus Braun.
Yeah. I think that's where they're kind of culminating it all, like, you know, just as a total finale. It seems like, again, they're just trying to... I mean, the way that the backstage stuff that's coming out of this, they said it was outside of the PC, of course.
They said it took all day to do this match.
Yeah. And it was like a 30-minute segment. It's a full segment. It said
between 20 to 30 minutes.
That's crazy.
And it just took 10 hours to film this.
That's fucking wild. I mean, again, it's kind of like... And we talked about it before. I think we wish... Like, if this was 2015, Lucha Underground was kind of like the company that did that. They did this whole cinematic kind of style, and we loved it. We're like, oh shit, this is something different. It's great. Only WWE could do this. And now it's crazy how 5 years later we're talking about it, and, you know, they're trying to do this now. You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, of course, you know, you never know what can happen. I think they even said that they're going to have a spot like this compared to similar to the Eye for Eye match, where, again, they're going with that horror show storyline where it's like, oh, you know what? Let's just do something out of the blue. And supposedly there is something involved with gators, like alligators.
I heard alligators, reptiles.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of shit.
Somebody's going to get, quote unquote, I guess, devoured by a alligator or something. So, you know, again, they're trying to reach that, I guess, that 18 to 49 demographic. They're like, you know what? Let's just do something risque just to go ahead and get a response. I'll have to see, you know? Again, does this mean that they're going to bring back, like, bras and panties matches and all this other stuff and everything? I don't know. If that's what it takes to bring back that 18 to 49 demographic, if they're that desperate, what do you think they would ever do that?
Possibly. Just don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
But possibly.
Possibly. I mean, it can happen. You never know. I mean, of course, other things have happened. And again, it's kind of like, you know, they've gone ahead and, you know, they say bitch on TV, they say all these other words, they say, you know, all this other stuff. They threw they've done angles where they have people throwing up middle fingers and stuff very candidly, but then they don't talk about it after that. You know, I think everybody just has that spirit of, we want the Attitude Era back. Is this going to bring back the Attitude Era? I don't know.
I don't think it's happening just for the fact they complain about, like, they meaning the fans,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't be able to handle the Attitude Era.
Yeah. They probably wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is jumping to another sport. That's like fans saying, oh, LeBron would have been great in the 90s. No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, that's right. And again, there's a lot of people that would debate that, be like, no, he would, whatever. And that comes as a whole argument.
Fries over the littlest thing.
Yeah. Again, it's kind of like, you know.
NBA, they were taking elbows to the face.
Exactly.
Elbows to the throat.
Yeah. It's a different day. It's a different time. You know, if, and again, it's kind of like, again, you look at the Olympics, you look at any sport. Any athlete in their prime back then, it was a different time. It was totally different. It's a totally different atmosphere. And if you try to bring him into this time, if you have the flux capacitor and you could bring him in here in this time, it's totally different. Perspectives change. People change. You know, there's a whole bunch of other things. Like, you know, if you look at 20 years ago, you know, they were doing all these kind of eye candy matches for women and everything and all that stuff. And then 20 years later, it's like, now it's kind of looked down upon. Like, oh, you can't do that. You know, this is the women's revolution. You know, women and men are equal. It shouldn't just be like, okay, you know what, they're just eye candy. You know, there should be other things too. But, you know, again, it's now like
female wrestlers can actually wrestle.
Yeah, female wrestlers can wrestle. And there's actual content and everything. There's actual storyline. There's actual, like, you know, they're being.
Who has a good women's division besides AEW?
Yeah.
Impact,
for sure.
We saw that last night.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, let's segue into, I know you really want to talk about this. Yeah, I know you're itching about this. Slammiversary.
Why do you think I brought it up?
Oh, man. I know, man. Slammiversary. I mean,
I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
My girl, Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah.
Won Knockouts title.
Fucking hell, man. I'm telling you, man. This is crazy. It's a big deal. I mean, if you look at the whole kind of thing, we talked about it before.
She's
in the past.
More in 1 month.
Yeah.
In Impact than she's done in her whole NXT career.
That's right. And again, it just brings up to the whole thing, like, you know, double fingers, double birds to WWE. You know, if you're there, you know, and they say, you're not going to make it in this industry. Fuck out of here. There's other things you can do. And I mean, it's kind of like, again, if we talk about this all the time. We used to say, fuck the Owl, you know, fuck Impact. Impact, what the fuck is that? You know, and, you know, we had all these jokes and stuff about it. We talked about it in our TNA episode where we talked about, of course, which you can find on our YouTube page and also on PWO, Wrestling Opinion. Check that out. That's another plug there for you, Nick. But definitely, you know, there's, you know, we talked about it before. TNA has been kind of falling. But after this last pay-per-view, I think it changed perspectives. People were kind of like, okay, it's starting to go in a different direction now. Again, can they bring it back? Is it back to...
It was actually a really good pay-per-view.
Yeah. But let me ask you, like, there was a lot of... we talked about it before, I think, before we got on air. But there's a lot of views about, like, this is 2010 all over again. They had something going on. Like, the diehard fans that were still watching Impact, like, even after everybody stopped watching it, are kind of like, wow, they're basically becoming 2010, 2011 again, where they brought in Hogan, they brought in Bischoff, they brought in all these big names, focused on them, and then that's what kind of brought them back down. Do you feel like it's that same thing, or do you feel like this could be a resurgence for them?
I think this could be a resurgence just for the fact of if this is their first product with the new generation, just say.
Yeah.
Like the new era.
Yeah.
Props to them. It was fun. Great. You had the return of the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah.
You had EY. You had Heath Miller.
Heath Miller, yes.
You had the Good Brothers. EC3 showed up.
Yep.
You do not think he just had a little video.
Mm-hmm.
You had phenomenal matches. You had Deonna Purrazzo win the title. I'm going to say it again.
That's right.
The Fatal 5-Way was a great match.
Yep.
For the Impact Wrestling title. It was great.
Yeah. Well, the reveals, I think that...
This was the start.
Yeah.
Then I can see nothing but good things in the future.
Yeah. I think really what it comes down to is the fact that... I mean, you could look at it in the terms of, hey, they're focusing more on big talent, you know, rather than, you know, ex-WWE talent, quote-unquote, versus, you know, their own talent. But if you look at this pay-per-view, they actually were kind of having an eye to the future this time. So it's kind of like, you know, they're paying tribute to what was before. They're, you know, they're aware of what's going on now and, you know, how things are changing. And they're kind of bringing it back in. I think they're really taking advantage of this whole coronavirus thing. You know, of course, you look at the fact that WWE released like almost 60, 70 people, you know, that includes talent, staff, everything. And now these people are jobless. But, you know, if you look at indie wrestling now, probably the highest at its peak right now.
Oh, they're gonna, all the companies are going to blow up.
They're going to blow up.
Week or so.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, look at...
They're able to show up last night.
For sure, for sure. And then
that means all the other companies could get the talent to show up as soon as possible.
Definitely, definitely. There was rumors that, of course, I think Rusev was supposed to be on Impact again.
But he got COVID.
Yeah, he got COVID, which he couldn't show up. There's a lot of other talent that really wanted to go to Impact. I mean, there's a bunch of people that were actually praising this pay-per-view, which is crazy. The Rock was praising it. Renee Young, you know, we got Finn Balor talking about it. You know, because they see their good friends now going ahead and actually making it without WWE. There's actually a life.
Being used properly.
Yeah, and there's a life outside of WWE. It's not the same old, you know, okay, if you
it's
can't make
it
here.
It's not like it was in the early 2000s where it was either TNA or WWE. Now it's WWE, yeah. Impact Wrestling, ROH, New Japan, Major League Wrestling, AEW.
Yeah. A lot of big companies.
AEW. There's so many fucking companies you can go to now.
Yeah. It's kind of like, again, now it's like this renaissance where it's kind of similar to the territories, but I think it's a little different now. It's a different vibe. It's good for the fans, of course, because now we get more content. But it's good for the wrestlers because they get to perform and do other things. And it's not just, you know, okay, that like you're stuck to one or two brands. There's other things out there. And, I mean, if you look at, like, let's say, like, for example, I mean, let's look at all the big names that came up. You talk about Good Brothers. Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson. You got Eric Young. You got, what else? You got Heath Slater. You know, you got all these big names, let's say, for example. 5-10 years from now, they could use this Impact spotlight to go ahead and build up on that. They can show up at another Indies. They can go ahead and go to AEW. They can go to New Japan. Yeah.
There's two other names that were rumored to show up, but they never actually signed yet.
Right.
Like to a company.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder going?
I think they should honestly go to AEW. Because it seems like, you know, they have more freedom there. They had so many ideas.
I can see both of them going there because they're cool.
Yeah.
Because Zack and Cody are really close friends.
Yeah. And I believe
I
also
can see that happening.
Yeah, and Hawkins too. I think Hawkins, they all like have a circle there. So it's like, you know, it works perfectly. Yeah. And I think it's also the fact that, you know, they have a lot of connections. But then it's also like, you know, they've talked about this. They've been vocal about this all the time. Yeah. They've been vocal about this all the time. They talk about, you know, we have all this, like, all these ideas about what things we want to do with our character. But WWE's always been, nah, let's not do that. Let's just go ahead and have you be, like, enhancement talent. Just, you know, you're making money.
Well, let's have you guys do the job to two upcoming people.
Yeah.
By the way, you're going to lose in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, again, it's kind of like, you know, where's your position in the card then, you know? It kind of brings up that whole thing. And it makes sense to go and have them go to AEW because now, of course, you look at them, they have a lot more control in what they can do. Now, you know.
They already have a big tag team division, so why not add more?
Yeah, exactly. They just got FTR. Of course, you know, they got a whole bunch of, you know, they got the private party.
Who knows who else they got from the WWE house cleaning? They might have got more people just waiting.
Yeah, they're just waiting on them. So, I mean, it's one of those things, again, where it's like it's an interesting time. This whole COVID thing has created an opportunity. And, you know, it's now just a matter of time of how these companies take advantage of it. What do they do with it? Will these talents take advantage of it? Who knows, you know?
Yeah,
but there's a lot of... It's an interesting time to be a wrestling fan.
And remember, this is pre-WrestleMania season.
Yeah, this is pre-WrestleMania season. Speaking of WrestleMania, WrestleMania 37, they said supposedly might not happen.
No, it will. It's just going to be moved back to Tampa. It's supposed to be Hollywood, but it's going to be moved to Tampa.
Damn, they must be mad. Because I know they usually have like a bid with the cities and stuff, and the cities
are
making a lot of money.
That was a brand new stadium.
Yeah, brand new stadium and everything. And they're like, you know what? We're going to make a lot of money off of this. The state of California is going to make a lot of money off of this. No problem, you know? But, of course, you know, the whole pandemic just screwed everything. So now it's like, you know what? We can't do events for a full year because of the COVID and all this kind of stuff, you know. So it's a tough situation. But again, I think it's kind of like, you know, if can this continue to thrive? We'll have to see. But yeah, and of course, I mean, what else are we missing? We got some stuff in New Japan too. So New Japan just crowned a new IWGP.
Did I mention Yeah. Deonna Purrazzo won the Knockouts title.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, Keith Lee won the NXT title.
But Deonna won the Knockouts title.
Yeah, but then Evil won the IWGP Intercontinental and World Heavyweight titles, man. Double champ.
One of the sickest fucking heel turns I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. That was fucking golden. When I first heard that, I was shocked. I was like, really? They fucking...
I didn't believe it at first.
Yeah. Naito's a fucking good talent, but they just fucking, like, took the title and just gave it to the Evil. Like, I was like, wow, man. That's some fucking shit.
I did not believe
shit.
That at first. I was like, nah, that fucking lying. Evil will never turn on LIJ.
Yeah. That was...
And now, like, holy shit, he actually turned on LIJ.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's basically Bullet Club, kind of a Bullet Club kind of thing, I guess, you know? Kind of just brought that back and said, you know what? Let's just bring up back Bullet Club 2015 where Omega turns on AJ. It was that kind of shit. But it was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else we got? I think MLW, they said they're trying to do shows. They got a new partnership with, I think, a new network. So that's kind of interesting. MLW is really blowing up now. What other promotions? We talked about New Japan. We talked about... I think Mexico has something going on, too. Mexico, Del Rio, and I think some other...
Bandados, Latino or something?
Yeah, I think it's Combate. Yeah, Combate... I don't know. It's like Combate Desporte, something like that. But it's basically like, I think, a mixture. That. Yeah. They're trying to get Eva Lee from Lucha Underground in there, and there's a whole bunch of other talent they're trying
to get. She's making her debut, though, on AEW, so she might have signed.
Yeah. I think, it's an interesting time, because these wrestlers can do a whole bunch of stuff. It's not just wrestling. You know, you got Awesome Kong also, she's on wrestling right now because she's filming for Glow on Netflix, which is becoming a whole big series now, and it's about to wrap up. So there's a whole bunch of other things going on too, you know?
She might actually come back to AEW.
AEW, definitely. I think probably by the end of the year, once they wrap up the Glow production and everything. Again, it's kind of, this whole thing with the COVID just kind of switched everything up, pushed the whole time. Yeah, it's totally closed everything. So now it's kind of like, you know what? Even production, like even big production companies are totally down. I think with Batista, even like, let's say for example, Batista, he was supposed to go ahead and shoot for, I think, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but then they pushed it down and, you know, there was a whole bunch of other stuff going on, but, you know, now it's like they pushed it out. So now, you know, they really can't put, you know, the content there, and they can't time everything out now because everything's been pushed back. So it's kind of hard to say exactly, you know, when things will get back on the right track, but we'll see. But yeah. But pretty much, yeah, that's our Running the Rope series where we go ahead and break down all the stuff that's going on in wrestling. We talk about pretty much everything in wrestling, NXT, WWE, New Japan, you know, pretty much all the big promotions going on. A lot of big stuff coming up soon. We also have our
big things coming up for the rest of 2020 for us.
Yep, definitely. Like we always say, you know, we're global. You know, we're in all kinds of countries. We're in Brazil. We're in, I think recently we had viewers from Japan, Australia. We had people from, what else? I think from Ecuador, Colombia, all over South America. I think
we're
a couple countries.
25 different platforms, right?
Yeah, on all kinds of platforms, Spotify.
They're on like 25 different platforms.
Yeah, we're on a whole bunch. We're on the iHeartRadio network. There's a whole bunch of things also.
If you're not into reading,
yeah,
like reading our stuff for Pro Wrestling Opinion,
yeah,
go ahead and listen to one of our shows on one of our podcast sites that we have. And you can listen on your way to work, on your way to school, driving to your family's house, in a car, on a bus, on a train, whatever.
And we have almost, I think, on YouTube, we have almost 100 videos, and we have, I think, almost like 50 topics. So there's different topics. Of course, we got things like the TNA episode we mentioned before, best and worst, heel turns. You know, we got worst pay-per-views. Yeah. We also have a couple of other things coming up. We got Titantrons coming up, and also signatures and promos episode that's going to be coming up soon as well.
And we also have an interview that we have to set up with a friend of mine who's an independent wrestler.
Definitely.
About how it is working on the indies, traveling, all that.
Definitely. And then also, I think, also, if you haven't noticed, Rich also runs the Instagram page. Me and him co-run the Instagram page, the Facebook page. I run the YouTube page myself. We got Nick at PWO. But, you know, of course, you gotta tell us what Instagram.
Superstar of the Week segment is actually booming right now. We got a lot of feedback from the wrestlers liking the pictures.
Yep. Again, that's going to continue soon, so, you know. Again, there's a lot of other stuff.
That's almost a year old now.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's almost a year, really? Damn.
Yeah.
That's
wild. Me 48.
That's crazy. And how many superstars have you done so far?
40. Tomorrow starts number 48.
48, damn. We're almost at 50. That's holy. That's crazy. And then I think you also do the birthdays too, right?
I stopped that because it was too much.
Really? Telling you, man.
Too much trying to find out every single superstar's birthday, past and present.
It's a headache, man. I'm telling you. We're willing to go through
that's
that.
That's why I said I'm just going to do the superstars of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be much easier. Just get two pictures every night for Monday through Friday.
That's right. That's right.
It's so much easier.
Yeah, that's a fact. But yeah, I mean, nonetheless, I mean, yeah, we're also on all these platforms, you know. We can find that out on our portal link. That's on Instagram, also on Facebook. You know, you can check that all out right there. Also, check out PWO. But yeah, this is the Mastermind
Music Center. Bugle.
Yeah.
I forgot Nick's other site, the Music Bugle.
The Music Bugle, yes, yes. So we also got the Music Bugle. That's I think Nick runs that also. And then, yeah, pretty much, you know. There's a whole bunch of other platforms. Again, like I said, there's other stuff coming up, new content. Stay tuned for that. But this is the Mastermind signing out. We got the big guy.
This is the big guy, Rich, signing out. Enjoy Horror Night, Extreme Rules, whatever the fuck you want to call it. The shit
horror
show
the Bosch, whatever the fuck you want. But yeah, we'll see you guys out.
See you guys.